Hey there, and welcome into Better Advertising with Better Media, a podcast for brand founders and marketers to share strategies and stories that have helped us grow brands in the marketplace world we're living and selling in today, the world of Amazon and Walmart. My name is Justin Knuckles, and I am your host here on the show, and I also work with a variety of clients here at Better Media as an account director. Today is our final part three of the AI Hackathon conversation led by Adam Malott from Better Media and Brent West, who together put on this event at the Prosper Conference back in February. These guys tasked a room of mixed AI skill levels to develop a product and a launch plan within 1 hour using a variety of AI tools. Literally an impossible feat without the collaboration of AI tools and between AI tools. This final discussion is probably the most useful to AI beginners and those wondering where to get started with testing the abilities of AI to make your life easier. So with that, let's get into it.
I have a question. It's probably best for you, Adam, to give some specific names of places to get started and things to get your hands dirty with on AI. So like what tools specifically did you guys use at this hackathon or would you as an advertiser recommend in the AI space?
Yeah. So, you know, keep in mind that my experience with AI, as I'm sure everyone's or most people's are, is very green. But I'm learning, you know, working to learn quickly on the subject and just working to improve efficiencies in my day to day, right? And I would say the biggest areas of focus right now, I will exclude ChatGPT just because it is, relatively consistent in terms of use case, right? I fell in love with Gamma pretty much at first use. The image creation capabilities, the presentation capabilities, the document capabilities. You can upload documents in there and have them spit out a presentation if you give it some specific prompts. You can create landing pages. You can create product detail pages. Anything your heart desires, all within this app. It is a fantastic resource in terms of getting into the nitty gritty on the creative side of AI. When it comes to things like keyword research or things like, hey, I have all of these ingredients in my fridge and I'm not sure what to cook for dinner. Can you point me in the right direction? That would be where I would utilize like sort of a free ChatGPT edition, things like that. But I would honestly defer to Brent. I'm sure you have a ton of recommendations here.
Yeah, I'm always sharing back and forth like the marketer's AI tech stack that I use and some of my friends. So yeah, GPT-4 on the pro version, definitely. And like you said, Gamma is actually, I don't know, Adam, if you saw it, Gamma just rolled out like a website product too. So a table captain from the fall show is using it to build out, to do a run of build on his new website for his agency.
Very cool.
So Gamma is a trip, but ChatGPT, I will say this from a machine learning standpoint and automation standpoint, years ago, probably one of the first things I used that was employing AI was CoSchedule was a social media agency out of the Midwest or closer to your neck of the woods out the farther west of the States. But CoSchedule now is a platform. It has been a platform. It's just a social media management tool. But the thing that they always had that sucked me right in, because I'm always looking at ways to streamline different things, was they have what's in their system called Requeue, and it finds your most engaged content, and then it goes, hey, we'll evergreen this for you on the, like, just on a one click. Yes, like, do it this much, set it for 3 months and run it. Like, it says, these are the days, right? Like, it just gives you all of the, like, here's all the intel. Can I go do it? And you just say, sure you can, right? So CoSchedule was like an early one for my marketing tech stack that I still to this day use. And I think it's, and then I have no stake in any of these companies, but I love that one. And then of course, Canva, even on its onset, was with its automatic resizing, just the AI in that and the odd then to the, like, they're hybrid models because they're using AI and they're using automations. But again, how could you not use, like, not just jump all over a tool like that when back in the day, I remember doing like major national brand banner campaigns for like Nissan Canada, and you'd be rolling like a full lineup of vehicles and hundreds of banners that you were in Photoshop just overnight, drinking too much coffee and just spitting out these banners as like an early junior designer was like a nightmare. So the fact that Canva can just spit that out, Canva's got tools now too that I don't use a lot of the imagery tools, and I'll get to those reasons, but Canva just for different like quick tools, like one click background removal or their magic erase. Like there's just their AI. Some of their AI tools are brilliant. Some of them are still a little clunky, but I still use Canva for the operational work of marketing. CoSchedule you use for the operational work of marketing, right? GPT-4 Gamma is great. And I don't know, Adam, I think you had to leave Vegas before this, but I did a learning lab in the afternoon, just talking about the hackathon at Prosper, and one of the questions came up, and I was running Gamma live on the screens in the expo, and I said, "Here's an article from a client's magazine that they rolled out at a trade show." I took the magazine article, put it into Gamma, and then I spit it out as a 10-slide show-ready presentation. And while it was running, the audience is just—you can see people just going like, because it's building it out right in front of you.
Right.
And so I said, what I did there was we had a timer on it, and the couple minutes it took to put all that together. I said, that was an 8-article magazine for a trade show that was given out just a month prior to this event. I took every article in there and in less than 30 minutes had 8 show ready presentations to submit for shows. So as we started down this path of here's a bunch of educational content that you really should submit to some of your trade shows in your vertical, we used Gamma to prep those and spit them out in 30 minutes, 8 presentations. Just repurposing, and that's where I like to think about AI is going, how can I take content that I've built and use these tools to repurpose it in a different way? So Gamma, yeah, as you said, Gamma's a trip. Perplexity is like the new search that's coming out. It's a bit of a new tool that they're not competing with Google. They don't need to. I don't really know what they are yet, but you know, I've just started playing with that search tool just to see what it does. But again, it's more of a web search. Clay, our mutual friend Nico recommended Clay, which is a tablature tool. Yeah, tool I'm just playing around with now. The last couple I'll throw out there. I haven't thrown out that many, but I love Revoicer. So I love Revoicer. It's a text to speech tool, but it's like more of a voiceover. So what it can do is Revoicer can now clone your voice as well, but it has all of these pro voiceover actor reads, right? So there's a free version of it. The free reads sound like free version reads, but then you dig into it and you can start to play with voice level, tonality, emotion, and you can like spit it, you can drop in your script, and then you can really start to tweak and nuance the script, put the right pro voice to it, and you get these reads that are knockout. So we had a client that had this pre-conference campaign that went out where they were doing, we designed a play-by-play for them, this video of this like play-by-play, X's and O's. It was near the Super Bowl. The event was near the Super Bowl. So we did this X's and O's retail showroom floor, like brick and mortar retail showroom fouls, it was called. And we animated it by hand, but we used Revoicer for the play-by-play. We found one of the pro voices, and just through the nuance, this guy sounded like an NBC Sports play-by-play. By the time we were done just tweaking it around, and we dropped them on all of the different showroom floor foul videos that we did, same voice, same read, so we got that real consistent kind of brand connection to the videos, to the things. And people were coming up to my client's booth just like, where did you do, like, how did you do this? Where did you do it? And again, so Revoicer is a really rad tool for that. And then Veed is another tool that kind of like a Gamma, there's almost too much in Veed that you can do with it. Like you can, like a Canva, you can really quickly rescale videos to different sizes for social. It'll automatically set in your subtitling, but it can also do avatar work where you can drop the script in, put it into an avatar and do that work. So Veed is, those are the tools that I'm most tapped into right now, because I'm just still trying to find ways to either sync them all together, tie them all up. But the one thing that where I'm geeking out the most, it's not necessarily the platform, but I'm kind of in Nico, who I've mentioned before. We were talking about this, and I had him do a little talk at Prosper when we did the afternoon, the learning lab. But I'm building GPTs in ChatGPT. So I'm, you know, if you have the pro version, you can create a GPT. So I have all of these different things for case studies I'll write for clients, or different things where I'm doing the same, sometimes the same prompts for things. Like I have operational things where I'm given a sheet of analytical and media performance. That's it. Like, here's the marketing performance. Here's the visits. Here's the unit sold. Nothing, like no write-up, just data. So I built GPTs to take that, because of the design of the case study. I need a 100-word block up here. I need a highlight block here. I need, you know, we have highlight data here. So this way, that company just has to, they just have to give us the data. And as long as it's a PDF, I just drop it into chat. It spits out all of the content I need for that thing. And then there's the write-ups based on, it's doing a file assessment, right? So we wrote a GPT where the only way it works is if you upload a data file. Can be any data file, but it knows how to write it for this Canva file.
That's crazy. So that would simplify everything that we do.
I was going to say, it seems like you and I have some self-education to participate in, so we can bring a lot of these tips and tricks back to our team, right? And I think that's another aspect of AI.
Here's a super hack. I'll drop one more on you. I did this with my friend's lead designer. I was doing some training with her, showing her Gamma, Adam, but I was showing her ChatGPT and building a GPT. So they're an Ontario-based social media agency, and I said, you know, you could build a GPT to just produce you an email newsletter every month for French Canada or English Canada. And so in the GPT, we said, you start with this question: do you need a French newsletter or an English newsletter? And the user picks it. Once the user picks it, then we started layering in the prompt right behind it.
I see.
Go find these new sources, go here, then write it up to this many word count, recommend like images, right? The ladies don't need the images. They're really good at what they do. But all of a sudden, on one click, do you need a French newsletter or an English newsletter? But we had to, in the prompt, go make sure when you translate it, you're translating it to French Canadian, not Parisian French. Right? So there's all this nuance that you can even go in. So in building this little boxes, these GPTs are all these little boxes in your account that just either ask one or two questions, but to what Justin said, it just runs stuff like en masse. And that way, the creative teams can spend more time going, does this look right? Is it laid out right? Is the messaging on point? Are the keywords right? Like, it allows more time for checks and balances. It allows humans to like ensure that the best thing is going out the door. And that's why I was saying earlier, there's a lot of lazy use right now. And what I say is, whatever you do with the tools, humanize the AI. Because it's giving you stuff so quickly, you should have plenty of time to then rehumanize the information and then go do that. Like, because everyone's like, marketers are going to lose their jobs. I'm like, not until clients understand exactly what they want every single time. So, you know, we're safe. We're going to be good. But I think that the smarter teams that are leveraging any kind of tools will really work fast and then... work fast to produce and then work slow to massage.
Mm-hmm. You took my next question from me, which is like, where does AI take us years down the line? Does it take us out of advertising? But you're totally right. Every interaction I've had with AI, there's been some element of further editing, further iterating. That's a human element.
The irony is I've seen AI companies in different industries on their LinkedIn business pages and stuff, write full articles on AI, using AI and not touching it. And you can always tell because of the rocket emojis and the overuse of the word delve. There's always things that are dead giveaways when someone's written it, like when they pulled it straight out of GPT and put it in. There's just emoji use and there's copy language. And sometimes people forget that. I was showing this at a college last week. I was showing them the end of an article that a well-seasoned professional put up about AI or something. Or he was using about local SEO, but he was using AI to write it because AI gave him the very last paragraph and the subheading was call to action, right? Like, hey, here's an area for a call to action. Should you want to use this? Like, don't forget to take that out. And the copy and paste call to action was still there. And I don't know how many of you out there who are listening copyright, but in any copy I've written, I've never actually written the exact words call to action at the end of anything. So these are just the reasons why and again, it's with imaging. Images, if you really dig into some blogs about how to make it so beautiful in DALL-E or Midjourney, the amount of prompting that goes into making like a perfect black and white image, a lead pencil sketch, whatever it is it can be really time consuming. And then because once you put in that mix, so the irony is to make beautiful imagery, you're actually spending a lot of time teaching that engine, really teaching that engine. And I'd rather go into all my royalty free libraries and my ad hubs and whatever I need, because it's just the way I design. I'd rather smash stuff together that I have access to right now and then let AI help me maybe do something different with it that I wasn't thinking about. But I don't like the purple and blue stuff it spits out every day that's on every post that we see right now. And that's what I mean. That's just lazy prompting and lazy use. Like there is a design aesthetic of like the purple and blues that it puts out there that, you know, it's just that dead ringer giveaway that you gave a whole sentence prompt to your ask.
Yeah, it's definitely a compliment, not a replacement. And I think it will be for, you know, a while, if not forever. At least within
it's
our
not going anywhere. So.
Yeah. Well, Brent, yeah. Thank you so much.
You have
much.
To realize how much stuff. I didn't mean to jump. Have to realize how the technology itself has been in so much for so long. It's not about is it a fad or is it a buzzword. It's been ingrained in lots of things. Like I said, they are just making public tools now. Mm-hmm. Like they feel it's a safe enough environment that they can get it out of the labs at the MITs and the different places for other people to use. You know, like I said, I mentioned our friend Nico, and if you listen to us, hey man, he's so smart. So Nico went to school for this kind of stuff, right? Like this kind of stuff was always just left for the data scientists, right? In the labs and the people to build. And it's kind of fun now that you don't need a programming background. You don't need to know how to write code. You don't need to be, you know, it would help with comp sci, but AI is in so many things that we touch every day that it's just a matter of working with it smart rather than working with it hard, like working hard.
Right? Well, I hope there's definitely a hackathon part two next year, because that's the one and only reason I think I'll reach out to go is I have to be at that event.
Apparently there is. Yeah. They've already started talking about it. So I think you should be there. Yeah. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, looking forward to joining that session and everyone listening. Hope to see you all there. Thank you again so much for being here, man.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening into this episode. For specific recommendations of AI tools from the masterminds that put on the AI hackathon. Tons of value from these two on how to make your life in marketing easier or just day to day. These two have tons of knowledge to share, so go connect with them on LinkedIn at the link in the show notes. If you found this episode helpful or valuable, please share with a friend you think could benefit from listening. Be sure to follow and subscribe to the BTR podcast wherever you're listening to not miss our future episodes. We'll see you next time. Cheers.